Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
I want to just invite you to take out your Bibles this morning, and if you have your that bulletin that we looked at a little bit earlier, there's an outline that you can follow along this morning, and I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 20. Someone this morning on their way in showed me their new app on their phone, and they had a Bible app where they could, how many have a Bible app on your phone? You know, we were talking about how years ago it used to be what translation you read from the Bible. Now it's about what app you use. And isn't it interesting how the world has changed? But I do want to encourage you to engage the Scripture. Be engaged with the Bible, because it's so critically important that we not just read about the Bible, but that we actually read the Bible and spend time focusing on it. I want to thank everyone who were involved this past week also with our week of prayer. And we had a number of sessions each morning. There were folks gathering here, not a large number, but a meaningful number each morning at 7 a.m., and it was a good time of praying together. Wednesday was a day of prayer. I want to say also, if you have some prayer points for 2017, some things that maybe you are praying for this year, if you want to write them down on this, there's a little slip of paper on the table here, and just drop them in the basket. You can do that after the service, and we just want to be praying into some of the things that are on your heart as well. And so, if you are, maybe this is your very first Sunday. We're so glad to have you. And as we engage Acts chapter 20, last Sunday, if we're just picking it up, we left off last week looking at verses 18 to 24 of Acts chapter 20. The Apostle Paul, just a little background here, a little context. The Apostle Paul is on a missionary journey. It's one of his final missionary journeys. He was a missionary, and he's been going around just visiting some of the churches and some of the places where he had actually helped to establish communities of believers and followers of Jesus Christ, and from going from town to town, he was engaging those people and connecting with them. And here in chapter 20, and we looked at it last week, he's actually pulled together a whole bunch of the leadership and the elders from the church at Ephesus, and he's brought them together, and being that he knows that this is likely one of his last visits with them, and probably, in his mind anyway, he figures it's going to be his last chance to speak with them, he gives them some farewell words of wisdom and instruction, and a little bit like what's going on down in the States right now, where there's a lot of farewell speeches going on from the former president, and they're just, you know, it's just like they're giving their final thoughts before they finish their assignment. And here, that this is kind of what Paul is doing with the church at Ephesus. And Paul had spent 3 years at this church. And so these were some people that were very, very important to him. And it was very important that the church continue and go forward. And so Paul is wanting to leave them these final words of instructions and encouragement. And so just to review a little bit from last Sunday, in verses 18 to 24, there were three takeaways from last Sunday. And if you want to, you can even write them down if you missed it last week. First of all, he said, how we live matters. And Paul, in verse 18, was talking about how he said, you know how I lived the whole time that I was with you. For Paul, it was really important that, and as you look at Paul's life, he was very consistent. He lived a life of example. This was important to him. He was a model of working hard and serving the Lord with great humility, and we looked at that last Sunday. I want to just encourage you again this morning, because all of these thoughts have application to us. Your example matters. Your example to the people around you matters. Secondly, we said last Sunday, how we listen matters. And we see Paul being attentive and listening and paying attention to the Holy Spirit. Verse 22, it talks about, says, compelled by the Spirit, he said, I'm going to Jerusalem. And this is where he was actually heading. And he talks about how wherever he went, the Holy Spirit would give him warnings. The Holy Spirit would show him things about what was to come ahead. And I want to just say again this morning, part of this week of prayer, we took time, we were encouraging people to listen to what God is saying. Let me say, listen, God has something to say to us. And we need to be people who listen and hear his voice. Thirdly, we said that how we finish matters. And Paul said in verse 24, he said, he counted his life worth nothing if only that I may finish the race and complete the task that the Lord has given to me. And again, I want to say how we finish, how we fulfill the assignment that God has given to us is really important. And so just some takeaways that you can think about, pray about, and say, how does this apply to my life where I'm at today? Let that encourage you today. So we want to pick things up in verse 27 this morning of Acts chapter 20. Verse 27. And we're going to actually read this next section. And I think some of that, it will be on the screen behind me as well. So let's pick it up at verse 27. Paul said, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch, verse 28, keep watch over yourselves and all of the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. For I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Everyone say that with me, all right? Be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. And now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up. There's that, isn't that beautiful? The word of God is here to build us up. Can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. I want to just make a little comment about Jennifer said, I don't need your tithes. just I want to make that really clear, okay? It's the tithe belongs to the Lord. It belongs to him. And then we use that to help advance his kingdom and through the local church and so on. So Paul said, I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must be willing to help the weak. Remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I think that's a great verse on a Mission Sunday, isn't it? And when he had said this, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. And they all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them the most was his statement that they would never see his face again. And then they accompanied him to the ship. So we read all of those verses together to kind of help put it into a little bit of context of these final words. And if I was to give a statement for this final section here of this chapter, it would be this. We talked about how we live and how we listen and how we finish matters. In this, the statement I would give here would be how we care for the church matters. Does that make sense? How we care for the church matters. And this was one of the reasons that Paul had brought together these elders, these leaders of the church. And he was reminding them that they had an important responsibility. You see, Paul had invested 3 years of his life with these people. And it was something important to him that they that this church not just be left without covering, without care, without protection. And so he's inviting these people to stand guard in caring for Christ's church. And it's something not to be taken lightly. And another little application point would be this. You see, elders and leadership are intended to provide care for the people that they are responsible for. This also would apply to you if you're a parent here this morning. If you are a parent, it's like probably the most important little church you have is your family. Are you with me? The most important congregation that you have is the family that God has entrusted you with, your children. And you have a responsibility to provide the godly care that they require. If you are a small group leader, and we have some today who are in our congregation who have responsibility of providing oversight and care for a group of people. Anybody that has been given a task of providing care and oversight to a group of people, if you're a youth leader, if you are a missions committee leader, or a work with groups of works with worship teams, if whoever you are, you have responsibility to provide care over those people. And so just some quick observations from this passage, and it's pretty straightforward. First of all, what are leaders supposed to do? What are those who have been given responsibility to provide care, what are they to do? Well, first of all, leaders need to watch over themselves, and I'm going to put in the word first. Are you with me? Verse 28, look what it says. Keep watch over yourselves and all of the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. But notice, Paul says, watch over yourself first. I think on the slide here it says, if you're going to lead others, lead yourself first. If you're going to lead people, if you're going to parent your children, if you're going to care for a group of other believers or people that God's entrusted your care, lead yourself first. Make sure that things are right in your life. Watch your life. Guard your heart. Just some things to think about. Guard your mind. Guard your attitudes. Guard your well-being. Guard your health. The Bible says that these bodies of ours are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so we need to pay attention to our physical well-being. If you're a married person, guard your marriage. We can't underestimate, can't say that enough. Guard your marriage. If you are a leader, if you're a parent, guard the best gift you can give your children is a healthy marriage. We've seen many churches, we've seen many ministries damaged because of a marriage that went sideways, because the leader wasn't paying attention to his own home. And so these are important issues that whatever kind of leadership you might find yourself in, and this, even if you are not an official leader, per se. If you're married, pay attention to your marriage. Are you with me? Pay attention to it. Don't take it for granted. It's one of the target areas of the enemy, and love to see destruction happen. Guard your relationship with God. You might be a single adult here this morning. You will have a circle of influence. You will have people in your life. The most important relationship that you can have is your relationship with God. I often tell people, if you're not married, Pursue your relationship with God and let the rest of it kind of fall into place. But don't strive over what you don't have. Focus on what you do have. And should God bless you with a spouse at some point in time, make sure that you are going to be that woman or man of God that God would have you to be. And that's the best gift you can give to someone, should God bring you together with someone. And so lead yourself first. Look after yourself first. And this is not about being selfish. This is not about, I'm going to do my thing, and if I have some time, I will look after these people. That's not what I'm saying, folks. And one of the best examples I can think of is, how many have ever been on an airplane where the stewardess gets up there, or steward gets up at the front of the plane, and they start going through all that stuff, they'll say, you know what, if should we lose cabin pressure? You know, in other words, the oxygen sort of goes vacant here in this plane, then there's something that's going to pop out of the somewhere up there, and it's an oxygen mask. And they always say, if you've got children, you put your mask on first and then help your children. How many have ever seen that? Been on that kind of, hopefully you've never had to experience it. But the point is, you put your mask on first and then help those around you. Maybe there's someone around you that's struggling, and if the thing is, if everyone is gasping for breath, what good is that? Too often churches and ministries are being led by unhealthy, overworked, burnt-out leaders who are gasping to survive. And one of the reasons being is that they haven't paid attention to their own personal well-being, and as a result, their congregation and the people they lead suffer. And so Paul is saying to these elders and leaders at Ephesus, guard yourselves. Watch over yourself first. And then he's saying, and all of the flock. And so that's the second point. Watch over the flock. Be shepherds of the church of God. I love that. Be shepherds of the church of God. Paul didn't say be shepherds of my church. He didn't say be shepherds of the church of Apollos or the church of Cephas or Peter. He said be shepherds of the church of God. Friends, let's remember the church belongs to God. The church belongs to Jesus Christ. The church does not belong to any one of us here. We are members of his church. We are members of his household. The church belongs to God. The church belongs to Christ. It was a church that he bought and paid for. And he says, be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. And what that suggests to us, that what that reminds us of this morning, is that the church is precious. There was a great investment. God paid a huge price for the church. And because of that, we must be willing to give it the care and the attention and the focus that it requires. I think it's important we think of how that even our global workers that we focused on this morning, many of them are out in places where they're often lonely and they have no one around them. That's why it's important to have local churches who are part of their sending, who are part of their care. One of the things that our missions committee does is they regularly send letters to them, emails to them. How can we pray for you? We don't want any of these people to be alone, because they are also shepherds of the church of God, often in lonely places, difficult places. What do shepherds do? I don't know if we have any sheep farmers here or have been in the past, and you can correct me if I'm wrong along the way, but one of the things that shepherds do, and years ago, my wife and I had the opportunity of traveling through the Middle East, and there were times when we traveled through Jordan and Israel and Egypt, and out in the countryside, we would often see some of the old traditional Bedouin folks who were sheep herders, and they would move around with their sheep. It's pretty amazing watching them. But what do shepherds do? Well, one of the things they do is they watch. They watch their sheep. They watch the flock. And one of the reasons why they do this is because sheep wander and go astray. Isn't it interesting? We are a bunch of sheep, right? And I was going to say, sometimes sheep are known as dumb, but I don't want to say that this morning because I have a higher opinion of you today. But by nature, sheep need to be watched because if they're not watched, they tend to wander. They tend to go astray. And when you've been a pastor as long as I have been, I've seen over the years many sheep who have wandered away. Sheep are easily scattered. Sheep are easily distracted. Sheep are easily get caught up in something going around in them around them and begin to move in that direction. Sheep become isolated, and when sheep become isolated, they become easy prey for the enemy. Sheep are vulnerable. And they need to be protected. Again, the analogy of parents. If you're a parent, you know you have to keep watching your children. You take those 2 and 3 year olds into Walmart. How many have ever lost your child in the grocery store, or have lost your child in the mall? And like you go into frantic mode because they just have you think you've got that. It's interesting. You see some people with their kids on leashes. You know, it's true. It's a good idea because they tend to wander, and it's just by nature they do that. And so shepherds, what do shepherds do? They watch. They feed the sheep. And not only do they feed the sheep, but they also, as shepherds of the Church of God, we also need to teach our sheep how to feed themselves. You don't see the shepherd going around, you know, shoving grass in their mouth. The sheep have to learn how to eat themselves. And I know people that have wandered, have left the flock because their shepherd didn't feed them. And you hear that from time. Well, I'm not getting fed. Well, figure out how to feed yourself. You know, even though we're shepherds, we don't spoon feed people. I'm not asking for... But, you know, part of parenting is you teach your, maybe you start out by helping them, but eventually people need to grow up. So shepherds feed, they disciple, they teach their flock how to feed themselves. They lead the sheep into maybe new territory. And it's one of the things we're praying for even as a church this year. God, what steps, where do you want to take us next? And then one of the most important things that shepherds do is they, as part of their watching, is they protect the sheep. And I want us to focus for a couple of minutes here on verses 29 through 31. And here we see Paul giving some reasons why the church needs to be cared for. Why these elders, these leaders needed to be caring for the church at Ephesus. He said, for I know, in verse 29, for I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. And remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning you night and day with tears. Paul said, and I don't think Paul was just being realistic. Paul knew, you know, he wasn't trying to give these guys a negative prophetic word. He just knew that, you know, after I leave, I can guarantee that there are going to be wolves that are going to come in amongst you, and there's going to be people that are going to rise up among you, and they're going to devour you, they're going to destroy you, they're going to lead you away, they're going to manipulate you. And he's saying, you as shepherds, you as leaders, you as parents, because friends, with your kids, your children are open for attack. And you need to be paying attention, because there are wolves out there who are bent on their destruction, on the destruction of the church. Even Jesus said, and you want to write this down, Matthew 7:15, write it in your notes. Jesus warned that in the last days there would be wolves who would come in disguised in sheep's clothing. If you just go back to that last image there, Josh posted this picture here the last couple of days, and a couple of people said, that picture is messing with my head. One person made a comment, said that image gives them chills. And it does me too. Because one of our projection young men said this morning, it looks like the one is calling for reinforcements. And you know what? The reality is that it's the sheep that need reinforcements. Because if a wolf finds prey, he will call for his fellow wolves. And the next thing you know, a whole flock can be slaughtered. And so this was just a warning. This was a warning that Paul was giving the church. You know what? Things haven't changed today. There are still wolves. There are still those who, and maybe they don't even realize what they're doing, but there are still those who are distorting the truth and leading people away from what God would have for them. And so Jesus said, he said, in the last days, wolves will come disguised in sheep's clothing. And one of the things that Jesus said, he says, so the question is, how do you, if they're a wolf disguised, sometimes it's hard to figure out who the wolf is. And I don't want us to start getting paranoid with those who are sitting around us here this morning. But he said, you can recognize a wolf by their fruit. You can recognize these false prophets. He talks about false prophets and false teachers. And there's other things that Jesus actually said that you need to pay attention. He says, one place he says, mark those who cause division among you. Divisive people can in many ways function like a wolf. And they can cause a lot of hurt in a church. And he says, be on guard. So it's one of, if you're a shepherd, it's one of the things that you're called to do. If you're a parent, called to protect. So some examples of bad fruit. How do you know? How do you recognize them? Well, you recognize them by their fruit. If they don't have the fruit of the Holy Spirit, then that might be a good sign right there. If their life is not characterized by love and joy and peace and humility and patience, that might be a sign that there's some bad fruit. On the other hand, if you're hearing gossip, if you're hearing a critical spirit, if there's a lack of humility, if there's a lack of submission, to leadership, to those in authority, if people are self-promoting, if they are rebellious, if they are wanting their own way, good sense, good possibility that there might be some bad fruit there. If there's a wrong spirit, if there's unforgiveness, if there's a lack of love for the church, if there's a constant criticism, those are things that often are signs that they might have the tendency of being a wolf. And a wolf will never say, I'm a wolf, I'm coming to get you. Are you with me? A wolf will never announce his presence. They slip in. You get this picture that Jesus is saying there's going to be people who are going to want to draw people around them to try to get them to maybe take their place or their position so that they can maybe gang up on those who are leading the church. I find this really a powerful statement when Paul said, for 3 years, I never stopped warning you, each of you, night and day with tears. I find that really an amazing statement. For 3 years. Like, Paul, don't you have a different message? He preached Jesus, and you get the impression that he really made this a high priority. And I think because of the culture they were in many of these places, there was going to be a lot of potential for this young fledgling church to be destroyed. And he said, so pay attention. Pay attention. Guard the flock. You have a responsibility to guard the flock. Pay attention to this. You as a parent have a responsibility to your children to guard them, protect them, keep them from harm. And so, just about done here, we need to take this responsibility seriously as well. Paul said this is a serious responsibility, and so we must take it seriously as well as leaders. Everybody breathe, okay? Because I love this, these final words here of Paul. And it's like he gives a message of hope. He says, you have a huge task, but listen, it's not just about you. And in verse 32, look at verse 32. He says, and now I commit you to God. I'll tell you, as a pastor, I am so thankful that we can do that. There are some things that you just can't solve, you can't fix, you can't figure out, you can't resolve. There are problems, there are conflicts, there's people, there's issues, there's circumstances, and some things, they just get outside of your control, and there's sometimes all you can do is commit things to God. Maybe you're a parent, and there's some things you just, I don't know what to do with my 14-year-old. One thing you can do is commit them to God. One of the things we did this week was we prayed a lot for families. And now I commit you to God, committing these leaders, these elders, this church, these wonderful people of God, the church of God, bought with the precious blood of Jesus. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up. I love that. Which can build you up and give you an inheritance. The Bible says we have an inheritance that's reserved, kept in heaven for us. We don't have to worry about it. It's there. It's ours. And then he goes on. He says, I have not coveted anyone's silver, gold, or clothing. He basically says, you know that what I've done with my hands has been for you. Verse 35, everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of Jesus when he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. I'm so glad this morning that we can commit the church to God. It's not my church, it's not your church. You can commit your people to God, your families to God. We're called here to give our best to God. We're called to give, to work hard, help the weak. It was part of Paul's motive for life, was to help the weak, remembering it's more blessed to give than to receive. One of the best things we can be as a people is to be a generous people. And then look how he ended. Look at the closing scene. And to me, it's a beautiful picture of love and honor. It says, and when Paul had finished speaking, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. Let's all, in fact, it says here they knelt down, but I'm going to invite us just to stand together right now. It says, when Paul had finished speaking, he knelt down with all of them and he prayed. So you have this picture. He's got all these elders and leaders all around him. He pulls them all in close. And what does he do with them? He prays with them. And what was their response? What was these leaders' response to their leader? It says they all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. You see this, to me it's a beautiful picture. It's a loving picture of love and honor and respect. And what they were sad about was that they knew that this likely might be the very last time they would ever see Paul again. It says, and then they took him to the bus. They took him to the ferry because he was moving on. He was actually heading to Jerusalem. That's where he was going. But to me, it's a beautiful picture. See, we're in this together. And Paul loved these people so much, he wanted them to have some final words of instruction and hope and encouragement. And here's some things you need to pay attention to. And friends, I just see so many application points for us as a church. And that is, look after yourself. Be the leader that God's called you to be. And whatever leader, we're all people of influence of some way. And then lead the people around you with grace. Watch over them. You might just have one person that you meet with on a weekly basis for coffee and for prayer. Watch over that person. You with me? Care for them. Help them. Help them get through maybe whatever it is that they're dealing with. Because they are part of Christ's flock that needs our very, very best. And whether you're a young person, a young adult, or an older person, the Church of Jesus Christ needs people who are willing to care for one another. The church needs to be a people who are cared for by all of us, not just one or two people. The problem is, a lot of people are expecting one shepherd or one person to look after all their little needs. And that's what's killing half of them. We're called to care for each other. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. If you're standing beside someone right now and it's appropriate and you feel comfortable, just take the hand of the person beside you right now. Maybe just find someone. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Can we just give thanks to God for the Church of God? You are standing beside someone that Jesus gave his life for. They are precious. They're precious. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's just thank God for them right now. Jesus, we thank you. Thank you for your church this morning. Thank you for your church. Oh, God. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for our leaders, Lord. Thank you for those who care for us, Lord. Thank you for those that help carry the burden with us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for our parents, Lord. Thank you for our children, Lord. Thank you, God, for these ones that maybe there's a difficult circumstance that we can commit them to you right now, Lord. right now, I just want to say, if there's something, someone, some circumstance that you need to just commit to the Lord, just do that right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would give us all awareness. That you would give us all the ability to pay attention and to discern and to be on the lookout for any potential attack upon your people. And where we need to step in and say, no, you're not gonna ruin these people's lives. Give us that boldness and courage to stand up to wolves. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, if there's any tendencies that we might have, any wolfish tendencies, Lord, that we would be repentant, that you would allow us to allow the fruit of the Holy Spirit to come and take over those areas of our life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.